here in the state capitol, a small band of Republicans and Democrats in the Texas House are coming together to stop two West Texas billionaires from taking over our state government. They've already bought our governor. They bought our lieutenant governor. They bought our attorney general. They bought our state senate. And now to complete their takeover, they're trying to buy the Texas House.
The job market is quietly collapsing. One in four people have now been jobless for over 6 months, and yet the people in charge of fixing this are profiting from it.
I have never known a job market like this. I am 11 months into a layoff. And what I mean by that is I am 11 months into unemployment. Actual unemployment, you know, weekly unemployment ran out a long time ago. Severance ran out a long time ago. My 401k that I cashed out and I've been living off of ran out a long time ago. A year ago, I was a vice president at a company, and now I'm facing like homelessness, basically, is where this is going to get to if things don't change fast, soon.
The unemployment rate for new graduates has slowly been increasing. It's now at 5.6%. The underemployment rate is even higher. 42% of recent graduates are now working in jobs that don't typically require a college degree. Senior job postings keep increasing. Meanwhile, junior postings are disappearing. In software development alone, 30.7% of postings are for seniors, with only 2% for juniors. And if we look through the list, this is the trend across various engineering sectors.
Job market is honestly so cooked that at this point, there's really no harm in pursuing your dreams. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You'll be unemployed or underemployed. I already beat you to it. So we might as well just do what the fuck we want to do. Go for it, girl.
When people say AI could never do my job, that may be true, but a human displaced by AI can definitely do your job. All of these tech workers that continue to be laid off every month still need to pay their bills, and they're smart enough to learn a new skill, and that's exactly what they're told to do when they can't find work.
Is anyone else working in tech just completely reconsidering their career path? Because the way this market is looking, even if you are employed, there's always the fear, the lingering fear that you're going to be laid off despite how well you perform. Like with AI, there's been a lot of automation and they're just downsizing.
So I've officially decided I'm gonna be a baddie now. I don't want to be an engineer anymore.
Looking for a job in tech right now has to be the absolute most demoralizing thing ever, because I used to be able to get a job like relatively easily. That truly is just not the case anymore, and this whole industry has really taken a turn for the worse.
This is the trickle-down effect. Software engineers are reskilling into new roles, seniors are applying for entry-level positions, and new college graduates are serving coffee with a computer science degree on their resume. And at the same time this is happening, some of the biggest companies in the world are sending layoff emails at 6 a.m. After careful consideration of Oracle's current business needs, we have made the decision to eliminate your role as part of a broader organizational change. A single paragraph sent to employees before they even had their morning coffee. And 30,000 people, that's a small city. In their latest results, Oracle increased revenue by $17 billion. That's up 22% from last year.
I was supposed to have a call with a recruiter at 4 o'clock today, and she didn't show up. Sent her email, didn't reply. Texted her, didn't reply. She's from Meta, so I think she got laid off. Okay, she just texted me. She said, yes, she got laid off.
Each month, qualified and experienced people are pouring into the labor market competing for the same jobs. So who's responsible for navigating this horrible job market? Who's deciding what happens next? Let me show you. On March 25th, the president appointed the first members to his President's Council of Advisors on Science and Technology. Now, this isn't a new council. It dates back to Franklin D. Roosevelt in 1933. He designed it specifically to be staffed by scientists and engineers, people who understood the technology they were advising on. In 1990, George H.W. Bush had a technology advisory council made up of scientists and engineers from fields like physics, geology, molecular biology, and mathematics. These were actual scientists, people who had spent their careers at institutions like Johns Hopkins, contributing to actual scientific research. Let's look at the people now advising the current president. David Sachs, billionaire who worked with Peter Thiel at PayPal, Michael Kratsios. Before joining the White House, he also worked with Peter Thiel. Mark Andreessen, billionaire. Sergey Brin, billionaire. Sofra Katz, billionaire. Michael Dell, billionaire. Jacob DeWitt, a newly minted billionaire. Fred Ersom, billionaire. Larry Ellison, billionaire. David Friedberg, billionaire. Jensen Huang, billionaire. Bob Mumgarde, I couldn't find his net worth, but you are who you hang out with. Lisa Su, billionaire. Mark Zuckerberg, billionaire. And lastly, John Martinez, the only actual scientist on the entire list. He's a physics professor at the University of California and a 2025 Nobel Prize winner. Out of 15 people, just one is an actual scientist. These billionaires have a combined net worth of over $930 billion, almost $1 trillion. These are the people now advising the president on AI and robotics. And it becomes even worse when you look at them individually. Mark Andreessen has made it his personal mission to dismantle the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. In my last video, I spoke about D.R. Horton, the company behind the poorly built new construction homes. I talked about the class action lawsuits filed by first-time homebuyers alleging D.R. Horton's mortgage arm was deliberately underestimating property taxes. Property taxes, they are legally required to accurately estimate as regulated by the CFPB. The CFPB exists for one reason, to stop corporations from screwing everyday people. And now Mark Andreessen is advising the government while actively dismantling our consumer protections. Larry Ellison, the same man whose company sent 30,000 people an email telling them today was their last day, he's now on this advisory council. His company is now partially building the AI infrastructure that the council is advising on. Sergey Brin, he came out of retirement to work on Google's artificial intelligence. Now he's advising the government on that same AI he's building, while at the same time donating millions to political committees and financially backing candidates competing to be California's next governor. And then there's Mark Zuckerberg. The very same month Meta lost two separate court cases for misleading consumers on the harm their apps cause, arguing that child exploitation was inevitable on the platform. The same month, the president named Mark Zuckerberg to this advisory council. He's now advising policy on artificial intelligence while actively building artificial intelligence. These are not scientists or public servants. They are billionaires funding the very AI that is displacing workers, buying politicians who won't regulate it, and now they're sitting in the room where the policy gets written. It's not even a question of if there's a conflict of interest.
Thank you, First Lady Melania Trump, for inviting me to the White House. It is an honor to be at Fostering the Future Together's Global Coalition inaugural meeting. I'm Figure 3, a humanoid built from the United States of America. I am grateful to be part of this historic movement to empower children with technology and education. Welcome.
This is the future they're building. A robot talking about empowering children with technology and education. Completely ignoring the fact that six-year-olds can't focus longer than 7 seconds because their brains have been hijacked by the very companies whose CEOs now sit on the president's advisory council. That robot, by the way, was built by a company called Figure. It's founded by Brett Adcock, yet another billionaire. A robot washing dishes, serving food, doing laundry, cleaning the house, all the boring things, right? But notice this house. This is not a normal house. This is a multi-million dollar home. This technology is not for us. This is cheap labor for the wealthy and for corporations. It may be slower than a human, but it works 24/7, nights, weekends, holidays, never asking for a break or a pay raise. Basically what they've been trying to condition out of us over the last 50 years. Amazon alone has over 1 million robots, and they recently purchased Fauna Robotics to expand even further. I think it's somewhat of a defense mechanism when people say AI, robots, that's in the future. But they're building them today, and we are seeing AI and robot displacement. When Amazon deploys these drones that deliver packages to the suburbs, that's a human's job eliminated. Or when Audi deploys these robots to deliver car parts at their service stations, a human used to do that. These robots are already here, and sure, they're not perfect. But don't worry, the executives are working on it, right? I mean, that's their goal. These are also the same executives that gather every year in Davos, a small city in Switzerland where world leaders, billionaires, and celebrities meet to discuss our collective future at the World Economic Forum. The World Economic Forum publishes think pieces. In 2016, we got Welcome to 2030, I Own Nothing, Have No Privacy, and Life Has Never Been Better. That's the origins of You Will Own Nothing and Be Happy. But they also write think pieces on climate action. If consumers care about sustainability, why are sustainable choices still so hard? They try to explain why us peasants won't just purchase the more expensive, sustainably produced products. They've yet to write a think piece on the roughly 700 private jets that flew to Davos in January, burning fuel at a rate that would take the average person years to match.
That was not a large applause. Start again. That's better. Thank you.
Yeah.
Prime ministers, executives, billionaires, they've got it all. Notably, though, not a single person living paycheck to paycheck. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent was there, and he was asked about institutional investors like BlackRock buying up single-family homes.
We think that it is a good idea to have them out of the market. We are going to give guidance at some point to see what is a mom and pop, that someone, maybe your parents for their retirement, have bought 5, 10, 12 homes. So we don't want to push the mom and pops out. We just want to push everyone else out.
Almost one in four Americans can't afford to retire, yet he thinks the average person is retiring with 5, 10, 12 houses. That answer alone tells you all you need to know about how disconnected the people in power are from the people they're supposed to be serving. These people are not struggling to pay their rent. They don't care about health insurance costs increasing. When TSA workers aren't getting paid because the US government is shut down, it doesn't affect them. They schedule a private flight. They have their own private terminals at airports. But every year at Davos, the media is pulling these executives aside, asking them, how's the economy doing? How's the average consumer?
How is the consumer doing globally and in the United States, but maybe globally first?
Actually, there's pretty strong resilience out there globally. There are a few emerging markets that have been weaker in the back half of last year. But actually, in the round, the global economy is still doing pretty well. The global economy is in good shape.
According to the chairman of Coca-Cola, everything is great. Has he tried getting a job in this economy? Imagine if the interviewer were to ask, how much does a dozen eggs cost? He wouldn't know the answer, and that's exactly the problem. Billionaires have zero incentive to make the world a better place. For them, it already is. And meanwhile, in the real world, people are so desperate for extra income, they're signing up for DoorDash just to be declined.
The job market in 2025 has gotten so bad that I tried to sign up as a DoorDash driver yesterday, and they said no. They said, sorry, we have too many people in your area. And I said, it's Los Angeles. It is a big area. And they said no.
The gig economy is completely oversaturated. There's now more gig workers than work. So DoorDash came up with a new use for them. They're now paying gig workers to record themselves doing daily chores so they can train their AI models. We are literally training the technology that they hope will one day replace us. And the government, whom we pay our taxes to, they should be protecting us from this. Instead, they're being advised by the very billionaires who are building and funding the technology.
Is it fair to say that we are going to have the shittiest generation of baristas because of all these comp sci majors? You're telling me my coffee is going to be made by someone who can't talk to people and who doesn't shower? If you have ever talked to someone who's a comp sci major, it's like talking to an NPC in a video game. You ask them, how's your day? They say, oh, it's pretty well. There is never a how about you, a what about you. And guess What? They're gonna push out all the sociology majors from making coffee. That pisses me off. If I saw my barista had a tote bag and a scrunchie, and her idea of a good time was going to Barnes & Noble, I knew my shit was gonna be made right.